Welcome to Syntax on this Monday hasty treat. We're going to be stepping into your context here. We're going to be adding some information and we're going to be downloading it directly into your brain. That's right. We're talking about middleware. My name is Scott Talinsky. I'm a developer from Denver. And with me, as always, is Wes Boss, back from vacation. Wes, how's it going?
Yeah, good. I little scatterbrained right now because you get back from vacation and there's a million little things that you gotta get to, but pretty stoked and well rested, so ready to talk about middleware.
Yeah, it's always good to come back from a vacation and talk about middleware. We talk about a lot of things on this podcast, and if you want to hear CJ, Wes, and I talk about even more, head on over to our YouTube, which is youtube.com/@syntaxfm on YouTube. We're posting a ton of stuff. In fact, just the day we're recording this today, which will slightly date this, CJ released a video showing practical examples of HAS, the things that we talked about on this very show, and people said, we want to see code. Well, CJ has given you code, and he built a little mini site where you can even play with these things in action. It's really, really pretty sweet. So check it out, Syntax FM on YouTube. If you have not subscribed, go over there and just break your trackpad. Just press that subscribe button so hard. So let's get into it. Middleware, what is it? Yeah. Why is it handy? Why do people care about it? Why do you use it?
Yeah, I thought we'd talk about middleware. I think that's an interesting part of building really any application. And the concept of middleware applies to absolutely everything, systems design. But we're going to be talking about it in terms of like you're building a back-end web server. And when might you need middleware? And why is it handy? So middleware is a bunch of code or some code that will run in between the initial request and the actual event handler that handles your data that's coming in. So somebody visits a URL, they submit a form, they save something, they try to access a route that is behind a logged in state. A lot of the times when you want to run some sort of logic or functionality before the user hits that route handler, you inject what's called middleware, which is a function that will run, and it could be multiple functions as well. And it's used to check if somebody has access to a specific route. It's used to, we'll do a whole bunch of examples, but generate some data from another system and bring it into that specific request, ability to skip expensive operations, take the logic out of a URL handler, because sometimes you'll have a route handler that will do specifically something, and it doesn't make sense to muddy the logic of that route handler. Maybe somebody saves an item to the database, right? They update an item, they click the save button. It doesn't always make sense to put all of the logic behind authentication and data parsing and which server is it going to, multi-tenant application. It doesn't make sense to put all of that logic into that specific route handler, because you can just assume that those things are in place at that point and put that other logic into a middleware. So I've been using middleware for quite a while. It's been a concept in ExpressJS was the first time that I've ran into it, specifically via something called Connect. But all of the modern frameworks now as well have this concept of middleware. I'm going to be talking about how to use it and some examples as well.
Yeah, and to even just give a food sandwich-based analogy here, you could think of if the request is the sandwich going into your mouth or the request response, you could think of the middleware as kind of being like the bread, right? It steps in between the meat of all the stuff you're doing at the top and the bottom of it, right? You got the top layer.
The moist
of the
maker.
Bread. The what maker?
Is that a... My brother-in-law... Is that? I think that's a Friends reference, isn't it?
I don't even know. Oh no!
My brother-in-law is a big Friends person. For the record, I hate Friends. I think it's a garbage show. But
for the record, I concept, like Friends. I think it's a great show.
There's two things that make me laugh about Friends. It's Pivot and the Moist Maker. And Moist Maker is the idea that you have a sandwich and you need to add something that gives you moisture, right? Like a turkey sandwich left over for Thanksgiving. And there's a layer that you add to that to add the moisture to it. And I've never seen that Friends episode, but I get the reference.
Okay. Well, either way, It steps into your request and response at the start and end of your process. It can do all sorts of stuff. So let's talk about real world examples. Like what might you use middleware for? I think a big one that, you know, a lot of websites have is authentication, right? And the way that authentication works in middleware is that request comes in. Usually that authentication token is in a cookie or something, right? And what you do with that cookie is then you go look up the session that the user's logged in, or you look up the user, you check to make sure that they're properly authorized or authenticated, and then you load up that user data and you put it into context. And then that information for the user, their roles or whatever, is available for anything you need to do from that point forward.
Yeah, and it often makes sense to... Like, for example, in my application, I have /admin, and then I have, I don't know, probably 15 different routes, different routes that can be rendered, as well as different routes that can be update data. And I don't put the logic of, are they logged in and do they have the permissions in every single one of those routes? You put it in a single piece of middleware and you say, apply this middleware to any /admin route handlers. And what that middleware would do is like Scott says, it looks up the current user, it will look up their current, if they have access to those specific things. And if they don't, it throws an error and it will render out an error page, say you don't have access to this specific thing. But if it does, it puts the user on the request, and then any route that's after admin will now have access to the current user, and you can generally access it via something like request.user or request.data. How you access those values is different in every single application, but generally they just stick it into the request or make it available via the async local storage API, which is new in Node.js.
Yeah. And generally, like when we're talking about this stuff, we're going to be referring to that as context, because that makes sense. Wes just flashing his syntax sticker there on video.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah, Wes put a syntax sticker on the bottom of his mug, so anytime he takes a drink on camera, it's great. But so that when we refer to context in this episode, what we're talking about is less of like the technical bones of something.
Implementation,
right? But we're more or less talking about the concept of putting something into context, and I did little quotes there, that is available throughout the rest of your request cycle.
Some other ideas for middleware that are commonly used is redirecting users to a specific instance. So if somebody is coming into a URL that has been shared via American, this happens all the time in Canada, sometimes you'll want to redirect that user to the Canadian version of that website. Or if you have data privacy laws and somebody is signing up for a specific use case, you could check what their IP address is or where the request is originating from, and then you may want to save that user's data in a specific database that lives maybe in Europe or in a different region that you must keep their data inside of that specific instance.
Word. You could also use it for logging and stats. You know, sometimes, especially larger applications, they dump all of their logs into maybe even a third-party logging provider, or maybe they're writing it to files. But what you can do by logging in middleware is that request comes in, you have access to all of the information in the request, log it. You can even log how long a route took to resolve, or how long the process in between the start and end of this process is, because again, you have access typically in middleware to be the end and the start and the end of the process.
Maybe I should explain one more thing about middleware. The idea with middleware is that you get the request in, right? You can add stuff to the context if you want, or you can log stuff. But the idea is that you call like next, or you return a new response from the middleware, and then it will continue on down your specific route. So what you could do in development mode is that if you only want to have logging turned on in development because you want to have a nice verbose mode, you could just say if process.env equals development, then log that value out. Otherwise, don't specifically do that. That can also be really handy for trying to just temporarily turn on some debugging. If you something's going wrong in production, you could flip on some logging in a middleware. You're not actually changing the code that is running, And that's such a nice thing to just leave that as is and not have to modify it and simply just jump in the middle there.
Yeah, and totally too. You can even like start a timer too. So that request comes in, you start a timer, you do all your stuff in the middle, and then you log the end result of that timer. I was doing that and just outputting and three different emojis based on how long that process took in milliseconds. If it was, I forget what the actual numbers, but if it was slow, I just had a turtle output to my logs. If it was fast, I had a bunny. And if it was very fast, I had a rocket ship. And that just in development, it was easy to see like, oh, if I'm working kind of casually, oh, this thing right here is kind of always taking a really long time. Just as a little canary in the coal mine, not necessarily any deep sort of understanding of the performance, but just a little canary.
A-B testing, really handy as well. If you are building a landing page and you want to, all right, for 10% of the users or users who have this specific flag on or users that have a... actually, this is one thing I do is country codes as well. I provide discounts for different countries based on where your user is coming. And what I do is I have a set middleware in there that when the request comes in, I check via a header that says what country are they from. And if they are from a specific country, I'll populate the full name of the country because like I'll just get like CA and I want to populate that to Canada. And then I'll also populate some information about coupon codes that they get. And then when it comes time to actually rendering the application, you can simply just check if that value is there. Say if there is a coupon code, then render out the coupon code banner. Of course, you could change, see which heading specifically works better, and you can get really, really, really complicated with the different A/B testing values.
One last one. Well, I guess we can have even a few more. Otherwise, we're just going to be spending the whole time here on examples. But yeah. You could also have your error handling and logging. In fact, our Sentry setup for making sure that our errors are captured and sent to Sentry so that way we can solve them in a very timely manner with Sentry's amazing tools and features. just a little casual
there you go.
Read there. yes, that's all being done in middleware as well. It just sort of steps in there.
Other things, caching, expensive renders. Obviously, we have things in on servers and in the browser and on CDNs to do caching, but also you can simply just memoize a function or implement your own caching in a middleware, which is say, all right, well, if I've already done this query, I've got the data here in a key value store, I can just return the data directly, and then it never even needs to hit that value, because that's another thing that can happen from middleware is you don't have to continue on in the middleware. You can simply just return early and then the request will never actually hit that later middleware. And the last one I have here is just multi-tenant applications. So I run, I don't know, probably 11 different domain names on a single Node.js application for all my courses. And the way that I determine which domain name and which course somebody is actually viewing is I run a set of middleware. So one of the very first middlewares that the request goes through is it says, if the domain name has beginnerjavascript.com in it, then set the course code to BJS. And then later on in the rendering, it will choose which files to actually render out based on that data that had been set earlier. So if you... That's an example of a multi-tenant application. It's just me. I'm the only tenant. But if you were to have multiple customers being running on the same code base, you can use a middleware to determine which customer is this when you go through the whole process. And you can even do that with databases. If you have multiple databases running for each of your customers, you might need to set the database connection string in a middleware before you hit any of those database calls.
Yeah. And even another one that a lot of people have used before, whether they know it or not, is that by default, when you have like form data submitted to your application or you're sending data to your server, that data isn't typically parsed. And Express did this with, was it form. What is the express implementation of this called?
The body parser?
Body parser, yes. Where that is essentially parsing data. In fact, I wrote one of these for SvelteKit to do that for me so that anytime I submit a form, it's always available at locals.form. Form data. So just being able to parse your data at any point in the request so that it actually comes in as a JavaScript object instead of inside of the headers or anything like that is it's a nice little thing.
Where does it run? I think we covered that. It runs in the middle.
Yeah. I think it runs on the edges. That's the way I think about it.
Okay, well, let's keep this in. Where does middleware run? Does it run in the middle? Does it run on the edges? That's a good question. So traditionally, there with Express, it simply runs in the same application, and it just is a function that runs before the rest of your other functions run, right? However, it's becoming more and more popular to run your middleware in a totally separate environment that's called an edge function. It runs at the edge because if you're going to stick a whole bunch of logic before your actual application runs, it better be fast as hell. Otherwise, you're going to really extend the load times of those specific handlers. So where a lot of these things now run is they run on the edge, and they run in environments that are not typically full Node.js. So probably the most common one is running in a Cloudflare worker, and the Cloudflare worker will try to run it as close to the user as possible so you get the best response times, and it will run it in a pared-down environment that doesn't necessarily have the whole Node.js setup, although Cloudflare is pretty close to being Node.js compatible as well right now. And that's how Vercel middleware and Next.js middleware also runs in Cloudflare workers. So you have the same idea there.
Yeah. And even when I think about the edge, I don't even necessarily think about the technical edge, but I think about like it runs at the edges of your application, right? Before all the juicy stuff in the middle happens.
Yes.
You step in there and you say, hey, I'm doing some stuff. I'm working here. And then you go and do your actual stuff. And then, you know, you come back and finish off your middleware. So to me, like, I like to think about it, like I mentioned before, is like the bread of the sandwich. It's start and stop of the sandwich. And then all the moist maker. I don't even know what you're talking about.
The moist maker as your regular route handler.
All you got, your stuff in the middle is all your actual work, right?
You'll also hit timeout limitations as well in a lot of these edge areas. So it might not make sense to wait, connect to a database. You might not be able to do a whole database connection setup. We talked about that if you go back to the episode we did on serverless databases. We talked about sort of limitations around all of that, but often people will forego the whole database connection string, or they'll use a database where you can use it in a middleware, and they'll just stick stuff in like a key value store or something that's really, really fast to connect to and access.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're talking a little bit about limitations here, but, you know, I do, you know, we briefly mentioned this. If you're doing too much work in your middleware, remember that's work that happens on every request, right? If every single time you're heading to your database to load up the user to do that, that's a database call on every single request. So just be cognizant of what you're doing in this middleware. And if you need to do some things that are heavier, we've mentioned caching, find a way to cache them or find a way to reduce that sort of that load time. That's a common thing is where people will put like a some sort of like heavier data initialization or something into their middleware without even thinking about it. And then sure enough, every single request comes in, you're having to do some process that you might not have to do on every request.
Yeah. For the user one, I'm curious if you think that this, many years ago, I was like, is it okay to look up the user on every single request? And I came to the conclusion was, yeah, you could cache that for a little while if you really wanted to, but it's totally fine. And it's very fast to do a quick database lookup of the currently logged in user based on their session. Especially when you need to update the user and maybe permissions, things like that, it will be a pain in the butt if you have to cache data and have to revalidate that in every application I've ever done. I've just queried the current user on every single request, and it's never been issue for me. Have you done caching of that?
Yeah, I've done caching of it, but with Redis. So in the way that we're doing that on LevelUp specifically is obviously anytime the user's updated, that cache is updated, but the cache is like per session. So when that auth token comes in, the first thing we do is check the cache to see if that session is in there. If they log out or if that session is expired or whatever, mm-hmm. we have all that information anyway, so we can dump or you know hit the database. But like typically you're checking base user stuff, you're checking emails and roles and things like that. I personally yeah. have that coming in from a quick Redis check, and that's it. Which is, you know, it can be very fast to do that way. Caching, and I did find not like a crazy amount of savings, but it's still savings nonetheless. You know, you're yeah. especially if your database is living offsite, go another place, come back with that data. Maybe your user data has a ton of stuff on it. So you never know.
Yeah,
it is something that I've done successfully. Yeah,
that's a good point. Is like what's in that query could significantly, like if you're querying the current user and all their courses and all their progress mm-hmm. of every video and every transaction they have, and you're sticking all of that, if that's like, I don't know, like a 300K of data, that has to go over the way or somewhere and then be stored in memory, and that certainly could slow you down. So it is important also, like Scott said, you should probably throw some timers in there or use something to figure out where is the time of this request being spent. You know, you could say, oh, like it's a 500 millisecond, that's kind of slow, but where is that 500 milliseconds being spent? And if that is in your user lookup, then it's probably worth throwing it into Redis. And the way that would work is you still keep your middleware for the user, but the early on in that user lookup middleware, you check if it's in the cache and the Redis cache, and that is fast as hell to be able to just quickly return the cache version rather than do a whole round trip to the database.
Yeah, fast as hell for sure.
All right. Last things that we have here, Next.js middleware is one file only. So I love the Express, and Hano.js does this as well, where you set up your route. You say, all right, /admin/anything. And then you can have your populate user or check for auth or do they have access to this specific thing? And then that will then move on to the next route. I love doing that at a route level. And the Next.js middleware is one single file that will run on every single request. And you have to add the logic in yourself. There also is, there's like matchers where you can say, all right, only run this on this specific thing. But you're essentially re-implementing the entire router yourself. And I was like, why is there not like a middleware file that you could stick in the app router? Like I want to go to the admin folder and put a middleware file in there.
Then have
that run only on it. And apparently they had tried that and it was very confusing, and I could see how it could get kind of muddy. As like a very simple example, I was talking about it, maybe sounds like a good idea, but obviously they had tried it. So that was kind of a bit of a bummer to me, because I was like, oh, like you have this app router, right? Like I don't have to write a router, it's just folders. But then if you want middleware, you do have to write your own router, and you have to match the URLs, and you say if it starts with this, and you got to make sure that that's not like injectable, you know, like you got to make sure that the user can't accidentally come up with a URL that matches your regexes. So I thought that was a bit of a pain in the butt to have to do that. But
I got a slight fix for that in SvelteKit world layouts.
Yeah.
In SvelteKit, you have the concept of having like a server side layout. And so let's say you're in the admin section, you could toss essentially what you would toss there into the like, let's say we have /admin. We put a layout.server and /admin. You do your checks, you do your routing there. That's going to run before it does literally anything else in that route section. So technically, if you have like a server side layout type of deal like that, you could throw it in there and it would be the same. That's at least how I accomplished that type of thing.
That's what I wanted to do. I was like, I want this to work like the Syntax website.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah.
As far as I could tell, it doesn't work like that, especially if you want it to run at the edge in the middle rather than be part of the actual generation.
Yeah, word.
And then also connect. Connect style. We've talked about Express, Fastify, pretty much any HanoJS, any framework you pick up will have this concept of middleware, or hopefully will have this concept of middleware. And you just gotta take a look at it. What does it look like in your specific application? That's it.
That's it.
Anything else to add there?
I don't. Yeah, middleware, you can sometimes find them on NPM. Sometimes you just write them yourself. You know, these types of things, I think you get more comfortable with it and eventually just becomes something you do on every project. But just about every single application I write has middleware in it.
Yeah.
And it does all kinds of stuff for me. So, if you're not using middleware, it's probably a good idea to look into it. And not only that, I think it will clean up some of the stuff that you're doing in individual routes so that you don't have to do it in the individual route itself.
I just remembered one more thing I forgot to say is that, like, often these middleware, you just said you can NPM install them. The reason you can often NPM install them is because they are standards based. So Yes. They are either connect style, meaning that they have a request, a response, and a next function. And connect style will work with Fastify, Express, all kinds of different frameworks. Or there'll be the new modern version, which is the fetch or web request, web response, where you're simply just returning a fetch request or returning a response object. And those will work. Or there'll be something that is somewhat a variant on that. And that's why you can just usually NPM install them all. And like you could go and NPM install like a rate limit. That's another really good use case as well, is you want to stop somebody from hitting your signup endpoint a million bazillion times. You could write a middleware. I have this in my own application where it stops people from hitting it too many times. It's a rate limit middleware, and you simply just need to NPM install it, and they work with more than just one specific framework.
Yeah, we had something called the Banhammer on Level Up Tutorials, where if people tried, like, I think it was, if they had a failed credit card attempt for like 3 times or something in a row, I don't know, there was some number. We had attached something to the user object, we would permanently ban them. And the way that the banning worked is it applied a class that made it look like the user was logged out, but it wouldn't let them log in because they were already logged in. It was like a nice little clever, like they'll just be like, what am I can't log in anymore.
Oh man. Or every single refresh, make the opacity 1% smaller.
Just a vessel. Yeah. Love it. Scammer.
Oh, that's good. Or every one in every 10 requests, show them, but then not. I don't know. There's a lot of fun stuff you could do there, but that is middlewares. Hopefully you enjoyed that. We'll catch you later.
Peace.
Peace.